Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, last night was a survival of the fittest that brought us some of the most fittest survivors.
Yeah, you know, it was, and again, we expected it, putting together the card, and you know, I just made my big, you know, my casino show Facebook posts. I like to, you know, jot down things. Right. And, you know, as I said, we have shows at the casinos and they all have kind of themes to them that have been going on for many years. You know, obviously No Escape is the steel cage match show. And we progressed from like one steel cage match to three. And then we had Against All Odds, that's now called Luck of the Draw because of TNA claiming their copyright on that one. But it's the, you know, generally in November, and we do a 30-man rumble to start the show, and the winner wrestles for the heavyweight championship in the main event. And we've seen champions come from that. And Survival of the Fittest is the hardest show because there's a lot of different gimmicks and styles and matches that we can do, whether it's a gauntlet match or a Survivor Series type match, or it's, you know, an Iron Man match. And we've done that throughout the years. And even a tournament match like we did. So we had, you know, three matches alone for the Nevada State Championship. So we had two triple threat matches. And then in the main event, the two winners, Matt Vandegrift and Gregory Sharp, wrestled for the Nevada State Championship. So, you know, the opening match was supposed to be a gauntlet match, but because of the genius of Damian Drake, it became just a five-man scramble. And credit to Damian Drake for, you know, beating four guys.
Yep. Yeah. And using the scramble to his advantage is how I would put it. You know, what do you think? Damian's been around for almost a decade, going from a kid to you know, a man. He's held, you know, numerous titles. What does he have to do in your eyes to take it to that next step, that next level?
Well, he kind of already has, because I thought he was stuck in limbo with the, you know, the 80s character, and it seemed like he lost focus. And that's the only way I can really explain it, that he was so into, you know, getting the fans behind him and dancing and, you know, having fun, that it was almost like he wasn't taking the wrestling part of everything seriously. And, you know, I think he finally had a wake-up call and saw people that, you know, maybe it started when Fox Valentine pinned him at a match. Sure. And, you know, it's easy to be like, hey, you know what? I gave it my all. I lost to Gregory Sharp. A lot of people lose to Gregory Sharp. Huh. You know what I mean? Huh. And when you're in there with the best of the best and, oh, I wrestled Hammerstone and I came up short. Well, most people would expect that to happen. But when you're wrestling and you're wrestling Fox Valentine, who's a rookie at the time, and you're not coming up short, and even though you're the fan favorite, people seem to be getting behind him. You know, I don't know the way your mind works. One thing about Damian Drake I've learned for a very long time, he gets in his own head. And that's not giving away a big secret, you know, and, you know, I always understand it's always good to ask advice of your peers and the vets, but sometimes you let so much get in your head, it just discombobulates you, and sure, you don't know which direction to go in. And when you see people that are here, when you're running with the No Limits title and you're running with the Unguided and you're the tag title, and now all of a sudden it seems like these guys are jumping over you. And believe me, you see it with a lot of people that they're trying to hold on to their grip of being in a certain spot that right. they feel like, hey, this is where I am. Kind of like the growing pains of what the faction's going through now. Sure. You know, they welcomed Ice with open arms. They helped him and he became the champion. And now when he was not the champion, now the others are looking for their own success. And right. now there seems to be a fraction in the faction. Just made that one up right now. Okay. But it's like Ice is expecting it to be the same exact way. Right. But Braxton and Fresco, and they've all been champions. But now right. Braxton's been the No Limits champion. He wants to be the heavyweight champion. He wants to be a tag champion. Whatever it is, he wants to move on. Watson is a tag champ with Fresco. You know, he's had a couple of shots at the No Limits title. You know, I was talking with Limelight, and he was looking, and he was like, hey, what's going on with Watson? Like, he likes what he sees out of that
guy. Yeah.
And obviously, I know now why Limelight was curious about Watson and the faction, because we saw a new addition to his crew.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody is trying to stock up. Just like with Ice, he had the faction behind him. And now all of a sudden, Limelight, who, you know, recruited, he's got, you know, nobody's hungrier than Raw Reese. And when he connected with the BBC on Gypsy Mac, and I told people, I said, to be honest with you, the reaction of the crowd was great, because you have to take into consideration that most people only saw it if they were watching from the back end to where the ramp is. If right. you're on the sides, you weren't probably paying attention to Gypsy Mac going up the ramp. The other one you had to see, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's like, boom! Yep. And, you know, people are catching it on the back end. And that allowed Limelight and Reese to take advantage of the situation, because Gypsy Mac was unavailable for 2/3 of the match.
Well, thank God. She got rocked, and thank God you had Dr. Jimmy Jack in the yes. house, because Dr. Jimmy Jack yeah. went back there and made sure she was able to get back out to that match.
And so. Jimmy Jack, the MVP.
and by the way, I mean, if you've seen the, anyone who hasn't seen the clip, just go on like Gypsy Mac's page or
is it? Yeah, I didn't see that yet. I saw it live and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, he did that so quick. Man, you talk about timing, right? And then one of the biggest things that makes wrestling so exciting for us watching it is that instant timing. And man, they couldn't have timed that more perfectly. And speaking of timing, boy, the rail jump by a certain guy that we haven't seen in forever to save the day for Danny was also done perfectly, man.
Well, you know, Danny Limelight is, we've said, he's a very wise man. You know, he knows what he needs to do. And he knew, you know, when we were talking during the week, like after it happened, I already had written him off. I'm like figuring what am I doing with Dante on the show? You know, right. I'm like, geez, where can I put him? We don't really have a spot at this time. You know, when you're going, you know, imagine getting to be wrestling the heavyweight champion at a casino show. And then all of a sudden, you might not even be on the card.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, how discouraging is that? And then as, you know, the week went by, you know, Limelight's MRI is not till Tuesday. So he went in there. He had this giant knee brace. I guess the best part was, and, you know, it was accepted and everybody was good with it. And this was 2-3 weeks ago about being anything goes type of match.
Right.
So that really benefited Limelight because he didn't have to wrestle a pure wrestling match.
Right.
And, you know, everybody expected Reese to be out there. Everybody expected Gypsy to be out there. But even in the beginning, you know, Dante said, Gypsy, I want to become the champion on my own. You know, right. Maybe Dante looks back and thinks, hey, you know what? I did this match with Damian Drake, and because my girl was out there getting involved, I had to save her, and I had to quit.
Right.
So if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose on my own. But you also know Danny Limelight is going to take every shortcut necessary.
Right.
But now Gypsy comes back and takes out Roy Reese. Okay, now you're back onto that even playing field, and then out of nowhere, Nino Black makes a return.
Yeah.
So
and he looks good, you know. He looks kind of hungry, and it's scary when Nino Black is hungry, man.
You know, and Nino, we'd seen him around. He was buddies with Bay. They were having some issues, but you know, he had other things going on in life, and. You know, you talk to these guys and outside of there, and I'd see him every once in a while, you know, rolling around. Hey, what are you doing here? You know, we have that kind of open door policy. So, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, Nino was at a stage, you know, we had that deal, and he'd come in when he felt like, you know. And then, you know, I'd see him around because, you know, as I joked, the new gimmick, you know, Nino the Barber Black. You know, he's a legit barber. You know, I see him. He gets the chair out, and he does house calls. So if you ever need a little trim, Matt, you know, all you got to do is hit up Nino Black.
And, you know, with all that went on in that match, one of the things that I don't think can be overlooked is Dante, you have to give him so much respect for the way he worked that match. Man, he took a lot of punishment in that match.
And he did a really good promo leaning into the match.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And by the way,
I'll tell you what, you know, the best part of those promos is it's his story, you know, right. And it's his opportunity. Because, you know, in the very beginning, you know, I'd book Gypsy here and there or whatever, but I didn't really have room for Dante King. I'd hear, yeah, he's pretty good. And it was like, yeah, I couldn't really use him because we had too many guys. And then they made the move here. And both of them have really taken it to another level. Because independent wrestling, you can get... We see people who are very mediocre. They're going to get bookings. Everybody's going to get bookings.
Right.
But it's about the quality bookings. It's about what do you want to do as a profession, as trying to be a professional wrestler. Because I always joke. It's like, oh, you can't make it for setup, or you can't make it to the show because, you know, you got to work. You know, you got to work that real job doing the cashiering. And again, everybody's got to pay their bills. But you have to be able to do your trade if this is what you want to be. You know, if you're going to go to a electrical school to be an electrician, you can't not show up and expect to be an electrician. But right. Somehow people don't bother coming to training, but because they've been booked and they know people and there's so many companies, hey, yeah, we train at FSW. I've never gotten a call once. To be like, hey, we're interested in using this person. He said he trains with you guys. Well, yeah, he trains with us, but he's been here for 3 months. Like, he's nowhere near ready for a match. But nobody ever asked that question.
Right.
You know, it's usually somebody hitching a ride with somebody who's going to Arizona or California that weekend. Oh, yeah, he trains with us. Oh, okay, yeah, you know, because, you know, we got spots open because we don't really have our full card even set the day of the show. Like, trying to make those people understand. Yeah, you could come by all you want, but you think I'm just going to make up a spot? There is no spots. The show's fucking booked. Like, who doesn't book shows? I got a show tomorrow. Why would you show up tomorrow and I'm, like, looking for people?
Right.
You know, other than somebody had car trouble or they couldn't get here in time, which has happened.
Right.
But, you know, dude, you're never getting on a casino show and I don't know who you are. It was right. Kind of like we were doing the pre-show. And the faction had made inklings about wanting to work. So, okay, let's do a six-man tag. And it was like, you know, you get these kids. I guess I can appreciate the hustle. Hey, you know, I was trying to see, you know, what I need to do. I'm like, hey, earn your spot. But it ain't earn your spot if you've never had a match before.
Right.
Okay. There's no way to earn that spot. It's like I'm talking about Future Shock people that aren't booked. I want to see who's coming to set up.
Yep.
I want to see who might be able to sell some tickets. So, Adrian Rain's been doing well. You know, he was a guy who was a fuck up in the beginning, you know, but he makes his way there. He's there all the time. He pays his dues on time. He sells tickets to events. Okay. You'll be able to sell some tickets. Yeah, I might be able to move a couple. Okay. I know it's last minute, but he's the guy. And Phil Godfrey, you know, minute he gets there, he's getting the water for the swamp coolers. He's always around. He's there training 4 days a week. It's like, I'm not going to give somebody who's not even showing up, hey, that's nice of you to show up at call time, but you're a student. Why weren't you at set up? And then you think you're going to get a match. Not fucking happening on my watch.
Right.
So Phil Godfrey and then Trademark. So it was a mishmash three guys, but it was like, hopefully people will see, oh shit, Joe didn't have three people and he picked three people. Why'd he pick those three people? Well, there was a reason for it. They might not have been the three best people, but it wasn't like I'm leaving off, you know, Shogun to put on John Trademark. You know what I mean? It's like they've been there. They've done that. They've done that work. Now it's all these Future Shock people that there was numerous ones I remember that weren't there for the entire show because they didn't think they were booked. And it's like, but you're a student. So you're getting some matches.
Right.
So you couldn't help. Oh, well, you know, you weren't feeling good. You know, you're 20 years old and you had to drive to Arizona with three people yesterday. So God forbid you come for, you know, setup or the show or breakdown. Nothing.
Right.
But, oh, we're available for the show. Of course you are. You're always available for the show. I don't see you for 3 weeks, but you're available for the show. That's great. I got 80 guys available for the show. Guess what? Nino Black's now with Danny Limelight. That's another roster spot that now I have to find room for.
Right.
Because Nino Black doesn't start at the bottom. Nino Black jumps 40 of those younger guys who he was way ahead of the entire time he was around.
Right.
And yeah, Raw Reitz has made a statement being with Danny Limelight, who needed a guy and thought this guy who's been laboring in Future Shock, he's got personality, he's a big dude, he's a strong guy. Like, you know, you pay him a little something, he'll fuck you up. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, another one who... Yeah. Didn't want to conform to the necessities of what there were. Yeah, you need to be around. And then he shows up with his fucking little dog like he's Teddy Hart's cat. And he sits in the back in gear on a show he's not booked for. Like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You're not helping. You're sitting in the back. You're not even supposed to be in the back. You're not on the show. You're supposed to be out on the fucking floor. You're not on the main roster. Get your ass out there. And it took a while, and then he disappeared for a while, and then he came back. And whether it was people talking to him or understanding, like, I ain't fucking around just because you're a big guy and you look good doesn't just give you a spot. You ain't around. You ain't getting shit from me.
Right.
Be a valuable person to the company. And now look at him. What a difference a year makes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you can tell that he's put in the time. He's put in the effort into himself. That's huge. And let's not forget, too, when alliances are made and you have guys at that level who are the ones, you know, becoming part of the storyline. Now, the question is, how does Dante respond and who's going to step up to potentially have his back? And now that puts potentially two more guys raised into that elevation as well. So you're talking about guys are constantly competing for those storylines. Let's be honest, because there's right. not a lot.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, and it's like now you got Damien Desire, friends with Jacob Austin Young. Hey, here's a guy. Oh, okay, put him on the future show. And it's like, bro, you know, no offense, but you're a guy from out of town who works a lot of local Vegas shows. That doesn't help me in any way. I got enough of my own guys who work multiple shows. I don't need everybody on the roster to be working everywhere. He made the decision to cut ties with the other people and focusing on FSW. Then Evan Daniels has a buddy, Bryce Saturn. Yeah. Hey, I got a spot for him on a future shot. He goes toe-to-toe with Ice Williams, and they have a fantastic match. Similar situation, but he's willing to focus only on FSW. Well, I needed some guys in a No Limits match. Okay, so now he's working the casino show. And he is looking really, really good.
Yes. And he's come a long way too, Joe. He's
so Bryce Saturn, excellent. Yeah. Eli Everfly. Yeah. Eli Everfly. Watson has really been standing out in the singles matches.
Yep.
Like I just boggle my mind as I look at the show and I look at the roster and it's like, okay, we got a No Limits match to open up the show. All right, we got Damien Desire and we got Saturn and we got Eli Everfly, Watson, and Damien Drake. I guess you can say, because of experience and being around, Damien Desire is the weak link. Let's just say that, okay? Man, that's a pretty strong fucking weak link right there.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then we go into a Nevada State tournament with six guys in it. And remember, Ice Williams has been eliminated, so he was the guy in the tournament.
Right.
Okay. And now you got Gregory Sharp, longest running Nevada State champion ever. Okay. You got Shogun. 8-month run as the heavyweight champion, coming off a run as the tag team champion.
Yeah.
And 17-year-old Bodie, who's the young prodigy. Shit. Okay, that's pretty fucking good. All right, now we got the other one. Oh, shit, Jay Vidal's around again, making that work. Yeah. Guy lives in Florida, but we're making it work to have Jay Vidal because I want to have the best shows we can have. Matt Bandegrift, killing it in New Japan. Killed it with us first. Oh, shit. AMK, what about Sam Adonis? Oh, okay. We get Sam Adonis. He's the wild card in that match. Oh, shit. Can't get more solid than that. Yeah. Now we're already going. That's three matches.
Yeah.
And now we're going into match four. And now the FSW Originals, Sugar Brown's back.
Yeah.
Okay. and you got Clutch, and you got Remy, and you got Maz. Okay, and then the other side. Well, now Bateman's a full-time guy here. Has been for a little while. Oh, Judah Matthews back. That's a big bastard, man. He broke some people around. Oh, Andy Delgado. He broke his collarbone at the last casino show. Shit, he's back again, too.
Yeah.
And you got Cody.
Yep.
And you got Alice Blair. Okay. Now we're going. Wow. Dante King versus Danny Limelight. Wow, Dante's really climbed the ranks. He was a guy, you know, scrounging to be in a scramble.
Yeah.
You know, had the thing with Damian Drake. That's five matches. Now we got tag teams. Oh, shit. Billionaire Boys Club. Oh, now I got Dutra and Wise Guy. Man, they're good.
Yeah.
And the MK Army, they're big bastards, man. Duke is a big motherfucker, man. You know, him and AJ in the ring, holy cow, that was great.
Right? Right?
All right? So now the heel teams, man, they're top notch. You know, there's experience.
Yeah.
There's character. Man, those are three solid heel teams. And because the regulators, as the face team, they're not around.
Right.
Doug Magnificent's wife was having the baby and ended up having the baby like the day before the show. So they weren't going to be on the show. So that left out a Killer D's young team of Greatness and Tenacious if we were probably going to do the 4-on-4. But right. Now you go to the baby faces and you got Sky High, been around a long time. But then you got Makeshift Chemistry. Man, that crowd, they may have gotten the biggest pop of the night.
Yep.
When they were down 3-1 and they came back.
Yep.
And that was the first pinfall loss for Dutra and Wise Guy since they've been there.
Right.
And you got the Mariachis, the guy up top. He's dropping. Whoa, I thought the Mariachis were gonna be dead yesterday.
Yeah.
So you got that. So it's like, oh, okay, I guess you could say what? The Mariachis are the weak link. And again, they're rookies.
Yeah.
But they're able to compete with the top-tier tag teams. But if you look, you got Cody's crew. So any combination of Judah and Bateman, Cody and Bateman, you know, wow. They immediately get right into that A grouping of tag teams.
And Delgado's back too now. So, you know, that could be.
And then if you look at Remy's crew, well, if the Bonus Boys RMBs decided they wanted to be there, they're numerous time tag team champions.
Yeah.
And you still got the faction.
Yeah.
So if you look, every division, we've always said, hey, this one's better than this. This is, man, no Hammerstone, no Bay. You're trying to figure out how to get Graves back into the mix. There's so many guys that have been on the sidelines, who's been hurt, who's just not been available, who I just can't fit in. It's like, hey, we got the Halloween show, the 26th, and it's like, oh, Billionaire Boys Club and Golden Era both can't make it. So now we're looking, maybe we're going to do it the 25th because we got a lot. So Dutra and Wise Guy got eliminated, but they helped win the match for the team by taking out Makeshift Chemistry. Makeshift Chemistry, they've earned themselves a title shot. So there's three teams there. You know, Sky High, they've had some rough luck, man, in the last two casino shows. They've been first one out pretty quick. So don't really know what's going on with them, but it seems like Makeshift Chemistry right now, because again, haven't seen the regulators. That might be a match for number one contenders. And that would be an extremely exciting match to see the regulators in Makeshift Chemistry. Yeah. And again, forgot about counting them because they couldn't make that show.
Right.
So, you know, for WWE to say, hey, here's our top 10 tag teams. Man, it's a struggle probably to get to 7, 8, 9, and 10. But, you know, we're talking top 10, and the bottom half of the top 10 are like maybe the MK Army. Are they the bottom 10, bottom 5 or top 5? you know, mariachi, sure, they might be the bottom, but man, for them to be the number 8 or 9 tag team, wow, right. That's pretty solid. And you know, don't forget, you know, the Suavecitos are still around,
right?
You know, just haven't worked out in working to have them around again. So,
and then you got, you know, don't forget, you know, again, in the back burner are Royce and Jarrell and potentially, you know, Tito and, you know,
and Tito and Jay.
Hey, it's, and let's be honest too. We also don't know what that next tag team is going to be. That listen, Chase has been out with his injury too. Just Chase and Jimmy Jack. That's another.
Yeah, team, yeah. Right? I still seeing him wear the sling.
Yeah, I mean.
So, but he seems to be able to work out a little bit more, things like that. But hey, you know, we got crazy. Future Shock October 12th, and usually Future Shock is just the students. But we have a main event that's going to be through the roof. Bret the Threat, he moved away, but he's coming back. And he's going to wrestle Ice Williams at Future Shock.
There you go.
And, you know, just because we're trying to get the man in the mix, Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire are probably going to be in a tag team match together at Future Shock.
And like I said, you never know what that next tag team is going to be.
Evan Daniels, because, where's he at? You know, you never know. He runs with that together. Group. You know, yeah. You know, packs run together. Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay.
Right.
And you guys got sniffing. It was like yesterday. Right. It was like Class in Reno. They brought a new guy from Arizona. I think his name was AJ also. But they're like, oh, this kid's going to be good. And even with Class in Reno now, they have their I guess their protege, Jaden Monroe.
Yeah.
Who's been hanging around ringside during their matches and doing things. And, you know, we're not even talking about the women's division of Moz. And we haven't seen Rochelle in a while. And Alice Blair and Zamaya. And, you know, it's just crazy.
And Brittany, you know, Brittany's...
Brittany recovered from the injury and Viva.
Yeah.
So, and again, she, you know, she's taken off. She lost the belt. That doesn't mean she's gone. It just means, hey, she's been real busy doing other things too.
Right. You know, and let's be honest too. Viva is one of the people who's getting some opportunities down with New Japan, you know, with Jake out there in Japan. And now, you have a main event with Greg Sharp, who's New Japan affiliated, and Matt Vandegrift, who is getting a very nice push with them.
Yeah, it's crazy. You got the AAA guy with Sam Adonis, MLW against TNA, and it's like, and the funny thing is, though, it's like, you know, when most companies bring in those guys, they're bringing in those guys. It's like, well, Jay started with us, TNA, Hammerstone, Bay, TNA, TNA, Sharp, Jacob Austin Young. He's in Japan. Like, you know, you think he's not in line for a Nevada State title rematch or match? Because he's wrestled Vandegrift before.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like that. Just look at the guys on the back burner.
Yeah.
And that's not counting the guys we can use like TJP who are out here.
Right. Right. Which, and you know, the other thing too is I think that what kind of gets lost too is that this is all the, you know, that local talent. Sure, I think that a lot of times if you think about it, it's almost a spoiled atmosphere because of the fact that you have so many good wrestlers that these performers are constantly being seen, whether it's at the arena or at the casino show, by the local audience. That, you know, what you're trying to do is tell the stories and watch these guys progress, And then as these guys get better and they lead up, then you start seeing things like WrestleMania weekend and then the anniversary show, where you're going to see other, you know, performers who are not everyday local talents, but, you know, guys who are nationally known.
Yeah, you know, there was the card show. Talk to Chris Masters about possibly coming in for Luck of the Draw. You know, the last time we saw him might have been a Luck of the Draw when him and Carlito, who now gets signed by WWE, wrestled Shogun and Hiro for the tag titles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and again, we have, you know, Brian Cage still got a good relationship with him. You know, when we're talking about our 16th Mecca anniversary show, you know, man, Masters and Cage and Hammerstone and Bay and like TJP, those are the guys you want on the show. I want Ricochet, you know, he trains at our school when he feels like rolling around. Like, hey, bro, you know I can't pay you the $350 I paid you for the IWF show in 2014. You know,
well, it's got to be at least four now, right?
Yeah, at least. Yeah, add the other zero to it. Maybe make it five and the other zero, and then we might be like somewhere near the ballpark. Because you got to remember, these guys, he's an AEW guy now, Ricochet, and I talked to him, and cool dude. You know, we've known each other for a long time, and it's like, to do certain numbers,
right?
I understand. Brian Cage has a fully guaranteed nice contract with AEW.
Right.
So Brian Cage only wants to wrestle. And Brian Cage wants to wrestle. Believe me, he wants to wrestle. But he's not going in there saying, oh, yeah, let me get one of your students. That's not appealing to him.
Right.
He wants to wrestle like, hey, I'm going to have you work Hammerstone. Oh, they were going to do a triple threat with Davey Richards, and he didn't make it. And then it was TJP. So, yeah, it was awesome. He was going to maybe do a tag when it was going to be Hammerstone and Cage after everything that happened against Juicy and Toa. And how funny it is that Toa ended up being a guy that was aligned with Cage six months later. Because that's the talent we bring in outside of Vegas. You know, we recruit and we get people through FSW from the school, but I'm always on the lookout.
And you just said it right there. There's a team that could be very well anticipated for something like the anniversary show, and that's the Gates of Agony.
You know, we had him there once. You know, Khan was awesome. You know, and it's like, you look at it, it doesn't have to be Gates of Agony. It could be a one-night Juicy and Toa reunion. Toa gets work at AEW. Juicy was in MLW. They even gave him the tag belts for a little while. So it's like all these guys that don't even live in Vegas. And again, I'm not one to toot my own horn, but I'm going to toot my own horn on this one. It's like these guys that I bring in, I didn't bring in Toa because he was an AEW guy. I brought in Toa because he trained at Rikishi's. He came and talked to me. I saw him a couple times. And I'm like, oh yeah, this guy looks like he's good. And then we put him in, and I'm like, man, I like him personally, really nice guy. Oh, and he's half Puerto Rican. All right. You know, that adds to it. So we have a good relationship. And he's a monster.
Yeah.
Like he was a guy that I thought down the road would be signed, but I didn't think it would be that quick. You know, there was ideas of like, and I've had it, a Tito. I knew Tito was great years before anybody really knew who he was.
Right.
And Tito's issues was the weight fluctuation and stuff. And now he is all in.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. Yeah. And little known secret, back in 2021, when we were doing Diversion and we did the 2-night anniversary show.
Right.
And we were discussing who was the guy that could possibly take the belt off Hammerstone. And Hammerstone was also in on that conversation. And again, who doesn't love Tito? Tito punctured his lung before that show.
Right.
And right. We were contemplating if Tito would be the guy moving forward. And then he was out for months on end. Right. And that stopped that from happening. So, and again, you know, those things happen along the way. And, right. you know, decisions were made, and then we ended up pulling the trigger, and Ice became the champion. And, you know, same thing with Sepha in 2021. Before that was Tito, Sepha was the guy.
Right.
And a few months before that, because that was the last appearance he ever made, was at the at Diversion, I remember.
Right.
He came out with Bay. Casey Navarro was there. Danny Limelight was there.
Yeah.
And the idea was going to be Sepha was going to be the guy. And then it was like, hey, bro, I'm going to be leaving soon. It's like, motherfucker. Can't do that one. So there's been a cycle of guys.
Right.
That we put in that position, you know, and going outside the lines, you know, was like from finding a hammerstone.
Right.
You know, that's me seeing something in a guy that I thought had the potential. And a million guys have the potential, but 999,990 don't put in the work that's necessary to get to that level.
Right.
And we saw that in a Bay. We saw that in a Cross. We saw that in a Hammerstone. We saw that in a Lacey. You know, we see that in a Vandegrift. Or, you know, the ones that are there, that are in their 20s, that are at the school because they're there 3-4 days a week on their own, going, pushing themselves, working with the best people they can.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, my dream is to be in WWE. But what work are you putting in to get there? You right. know, there's so many wrestlers outside this area that wish they got the opportunities to be seen the way our guys are, who unfortunately sometimes don't take advantage. You know, sure. when Gabe Sapolsky does his seminar tryout and he charges $100 and you say, well, yeah, you know, money's tight. I really can't afford it. Okay. I can accept that. But right. when the year before, because of the clout that FSW has, Gabe Sapolsky is doing the first one and he is not charging a penny and everyone's invited and you right. don't show up to be seen. I challenge you. What is your true desire to make it? If a guy who's involved with WWE, who's got Paul Heyman and Triple H's ear, he's the same guy a year and a half later. Hey, Joe, I need some guys as extras for NXT in Vegas. Can you get me some people? Not going through the Rolodex, not going through the WWE website to see what people in this area have signed up, because that's how they'll pick a lot of extras in certain situations. But Gabe right. knows me, and he knows my company, so he wants me to recommend people. I don't ask for anything. I don't know if the pay's good, the pay's bad, whatever it is, it's the opportunity. Maybe you could make somebody give a shit, pay attention, whatever it is. Make a connection.
Yeah.
You know, a Sean Daivari, you know. I'll be honest, Sean Daivari, you know, we had a guy, one of our top guys. And Sean was training when he had lost his job for the first time at WWE, was back in Vegas. So, you know, we had, hey, you know, train with former WWE agent Sean Daivari, $10. You get five people showing up. And of course, the five people were like, oh man, it was so good training with Daivari. It was like, yeah, you think some people would actually give a shit and show up? Because do you think this guy might get another fucking job back? Guess what? Got the job back. So one of our guys who trained with him, he was like, hey, what's up? What's his age? I'm not going to bury the guy and right. say who he is. Top guy. So Sean hits me up. Get in touch with him. Need to do your blood work. SummerSlam was going to be in Vegas. The day before, they're going to be in Arizona. We need him in Arizona the day before to do extra work, which if he does the job well there, probably got the spot where he's getting paid. You know, it ain't, you know, you get paid a decent amount of money.
Right.
Doesn't get the blood work done in time. Guess what? Now he doesn't go to Arizona. Do you really think Sean Daivari is going to ask you again to get blood work done and come do something? No. You lost your opportunity. That you were in, now you're not.
All right.
Now he's going to look for somebody else. Or he's going to ask me. Right. You know, that's why when Sean Daivari came back, who did I give him? I gave him Gregory Sharp. Because I knew Gregory Sharp would be able to hang in there and get the job done.
Right.
Because Sean was in fucking fantastic shape. You know, he was taking bookings. He was trying to get back in shape to take those bookings. But he worked for us on a couple of occasions. He was supposed to work Remy, and then he ended up going back as the agent.
Right.
You know, and that just goes to show the, you know, he was cool, you know, Sean, to work with us. And, you know, we always had an agreement. Easiest guy in the world to deal with. But right. if I need something like NXT tickets, I want to go back there and say, you know, hi to people I knew. I wasn't really that interested in just sitting there. But, you know, he got his tickets. Mikey got to go and, you know,
right.
nice little thing. But I can make that call. I can go to TNA. I can make that call. AEW, Sanjay, hey, I got backstage, got to see so many guys that have come through the FSW doors. Brody King, who I hadn't seen in a long time, from right. when he was a $50 guy. And he right. tells the story about, you know, how Joe said, hey, good luck with your future, when he gave me his new price of like $500. I was like, what? Because he was working Ring of Honor. But he respected the fact that, hey, good luck. You know, I can't afford you, you know. Right. And I've had really good relationships with people who I didn't give a lot of money to. So I know it isn't because I was the money mark, giving everybody three times their dues, so they're going to act like they like me. They right. don't have to act like they like me. Because, right. again, there's a lot of people who don't, because they feel mistreated. They feel like, oh, I underpaid them. And it's like, you know, it wasn't like I told you I was going to pay you X and then I paid you Y and now it's like I'm a piece of shit. No, well, I told you I'm paying you X and I handed you X. Now, right. after that fact where you think you're worth more, as I say, I never doubt everybody at that show yesterday was worth more, I would say, in most cases,
right.
than they get paid. But this is what they want to be a part of. Like I said, Danny Limelight. He's like, you know, his knee was fucked up. That Danny's going to make a movie next week.
Yeah.
But Danny feels an obligation that if he feels in any way he can go, he's going to go. I'll recommend him to stay home. Yeah. You know, but I'm not going to tell him, no, you're not going to get your payday, no. You know, I might bust his balls and say, yeah, you know, you didn't really work a match. Yeah, the envelope's going to be a little light. But he knows I'm fucking with him, and I would never do that. You know?
I don't know. I saw you sitting in the back with him, and I don't know. Things kind of got heated there. That Puerto Rican blood was coming out between the two of you.
I think he was mad at somebody else. Or I was mad at somebody else, because I usually am.
No, but, you know, and that's a great point. I mean, Danny just said, I mean, he literally was shooting across, you know, across the country, flew back into L.A., flew out here, flew back to L.A., and is going to be flying back across the country to finish the film. And
right.
And he, you know, he definitely
was a hustler, man.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, and he'll tell you he was his own worst enemy. Yeah. You know, he did stupid shit. He didn't do malicious shit. He did stupid shit. He did young guy dumb shit. And unfortunately, he pays for it. Because now, as I said, you watch him and Santana, they're of equal skill. You know, Danny might be a little better on the microphone.
Right.
Maybe Santana does a couple more cooler moves. But having both of them on your roster is a plus.
Right.
And it was like, you know, I hit up D-Lo like, hey, bro, you know, check out Santana and Limelight. It's a great match, man. Like, this guy can go. Like, I know that reputation from the past. I'm like, you know, he might still be a little dumb, but in most cases, he's grown up and he understands. And, you know, it's a shame if he never gets that opportunity again. Because, you know, look at LA Knight and look at Ryan Taylor and look at Timothy Thatcher, who they never got that opportunity to much later. Danny got it early, fucked it up. Now it's like, okay, how about that second chance? Because he wasn't on a list. He wasn't, you know, anything I know of that would be like, oh, that's the red flag. It was, like I said, it was, you know, just being a dumb fuck, just being a kid. You know, trying to be the kid in the candy store. Right. You know, it's all over the world. And it's like, this guy would be an asset to your locker room. He talks with people. You know, I didn't know, you know, I tell him what's going on, certain things with the guys, with the other companies and what they're doing, and trying to make them understand the values of certain things. And, you know, a couple of the guys that I had yapped at with this week that were on the show that I wasn't happy with about making my show over another local show kind of pissed me off. And, you know, Danny always seems to be that guy. Like Hammerstone, even though they're not local, they take a leadership role. They'll go there. They'll watch the matches. They'll critique you. I remember early on, man. Like Graves wrestled Shogun a bunch in the beginning, and Hammerstone would be right there. I remember downstairs in Neonopolis when we did an outdoor show and it was Shogun, and there was fucking Hammer, you know, coming down the escalator, basically going up the escalator with Shogun, telling him what he did right, what he did wrong, and not trying to big league him, trying to make everybody better. There's so few people. I always talk about how Lance Hoyt is one of the best at that, that, you know, he will take the time out of his busy life, his own life, not worrying about who's going to take his spot. It's like, if he sees something in you and he likes something about you, here's my number. I remember him doing that to Will Hobbs back in the day when we did Survival of the Fittest with Cross and the Commandos, and Masters was in the match. And it was Cold Cold World, which was Will Hobbs and his cousin Damian Grundy. And this was many, many years ago, 2015 maybe, 2016, I couldn't even tell you. Cross was in Japan. He came back the day of the show. And I just remember Lance Hoyt, you know, and Will Hobbs was telling me, you know, here – you know, Lance gave him the number. If you guys need anything, you know, hit him up. First time he ever met him. Yep. Now Lance has got to hit up Will Hobbs to say, hey, chance you can get me booked on AEW, brother?
Just please remind Tony who I am.
Yeah, let him know who I am. You know, I'm that guy who comes with the guy with the snake. Maybe he'll remember the snake guy.
Oh, man. What do you think, you know, again, sometimes, you know, obviously in a casino show, there's, you know, the stories are, this is what we lead up to. So there's not a lot of mic time, but we did get some thoughts by Cody, which.
Cody always has thoughts. A lot of voices in that guy's head. I think Randy Orton was singing that. Yeah, this Randy Orton song could be about Cody.
But, you know, the one thing I got to say, no matter what the promo is, I think that one of the things that guys kind of forget is you got to look at guys like Cody and go, the way he delivered what he was saying was just a solid promo. It was something that was solid, whether or not, you know, it was necessary, whether or not it was something you were expecting or not expecting. I think that that's, you know, something that the guys got to start kind of focusing in on is, hey, how do I go about cutting promos like that? And even the video packages showed, like you said, Dante's was great. The originals was great. A lot more focus for these guys on cutting these things, putting together these packages, and getting it out there on social media, because, you know, I think that that buildup of being able to show not only that you can perform in the ring, but that you have those mic skills and that presence, that would be, you know, to the benefit of just, you know, essentially practicing and getting those videos out there, getting those promos out there, getting, if they're given any type of time, being able to deliver a promo, if they're handed a microphone, a precise thing that's done within a minute and a half, makes the point, drives the character home, and then you're out of there and people remember that. Is that something that, you know, the guys, you know, the guys who are there, who are performing every day, take it to the next level? Is that something that you're looking at these guys to kind of start picking up and just like, hey, why not run with that ball?
Well, you know, we emphasize, and again, I think we don't do it enough, like promo classes. I think it's hard because, unfortunately, promo classes will help the guys that are on shows already more than a student who's been doing it for 2 or 3 months. Like, he's got to get his feet wet in doing, you know, with the wrestling stuff. Right. So you kind of have that disconnect to where, as important as it is, a lot of times it's not helping the right people.
Right.
You know, because you look, obviously, the rise of Ice Williams, you have to credit a lot of it to him talking on a microphone. Yeah. The same thing with the faction. Cross was the originator of, no, I'm sorry, Sean Ricker, LA Knight, was the originator of getting on the mic and having people enthralled in FSW. Right. Like, he was the guy that, despite being a heel and being a guy that you rooted against, it was always shocking to me, because in most cases, if it was modest or it was, it's like, shut the fuck up, fuck you, we hate you. Okay? And
that was the story of Modest's career, too.
You know, with Ricker, it was, all right, everybody be quiet, because he's fucking hilarious, he's engaging, he's everything about him. Then we're going to start booing the shit out of him.
Right.
That's why I always say it was the easiest turn, because he turned on Sally and Tyshawn Prince, who was our champion, who was a monster, and Sally. And once that promo, instead of going toward Remy Marcel, who the fans loved, he went to Sally, who the fans hated, it was easy for him to become the number one baby face per se in the company by not doing anything other than his wrath now went towards somebody you didn't like. So you agreed with him. Cross was a guy who, as I said, brought him in as my assistant. He was a big dude. We babied him, but he was the guy, as I said, nobody ever in wrestling history is a guy who walks in the door and it's TikTok and Pay the Toll and that whole character visualization in his head was from day one of wrestling school. Like, yeah, it's mind-boggling to believe that the first day in wrestling school is the same character that went to AAA, went to TNA, went to NXT. Then he had the side road with the helmet in WWE. But even when he came back after Drew and Roman Reigns, the TikTok, and that was the same exact person. Right. And you could say whatever you want about evolving, but it was like that shows how far ahead of his time he was. That is, right, an indie wrestler who didn't even know how to take a fall had that character,
right?
Had that persona. Danny Limelight, he's a really good wrestler. Is he the greatest wrestler in the world? No, but it's the old baseball five-tool player. Yeah, he can hit for power, and he's a great defender, but he strikes out all the time, and he's slow as shit. You know, well, you got Ichiro, he can pitch, he can hit, he can run, he hits for power. That's the ultimate player. So in wrestling, you want the ultimate guy. And right, for a long time, Bryan Danielson, he was the best worker in the world, but nobody gave a shit because he couldn't cut promos.
Right.
And then Yes came about, and he just kept going with that to where now the characterization of him now made him a main event player. That's why The Rock was always a main event player, because of his persona and his character. And many people at the time said Brad Armstrong might have been the best technical wrestler in the world, and he couldn't win a match. His job was to make the guy who wasn't that good look like he could wrestle a match.
Man, if Brad Armstrong and his brother, if they just had Road Dogg's personality and Mike's skills in Brad's body, you would have had the ultimate wrestler.
Right. It's crazy, you know, and Road Dogg got so much farther in his career with far less wrestling skills.
Yep.
And you try to beat that in the head of these kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, so many of you guys do a lot of the similar stuff. It's like, what makes you special? I can't go out there and tell you why the fans really love Makeshift Chemistry. Why? Regulators might do cooler moves than them. They're liked, but they're not loved.
Right.
Like, for some reason, they're young kids. You look at AJ and it's like, dude, you got to put on like 30 pounds to still be skinny. You know? And it's like, but there's an unwritten charisma, personality. There's a certain charm about them that's engaging, obviously, to the fans.
You know. And something stuck out yesterday that was, I think, the key. When AJ was down after the match, and he had all the guys come in to, you know, check on him, Fox made his way through that little crowd, and Fox, every single moment of that was real to him. And it makes the difference. It makes the difference. You saw why these guys, when you go, hey, they're young and they're talented, but holy shit, they get it? Oh, fuck. These guys are going to be dangerous as they start to progress and grow. And, you know, you're talking to guys who will not be denied, whether if they stay as a team, you know, down the road a few years from now, or, you know, end up getting individual paths.
Wow. Who's going to be the Jannetty? Oh, no.
Yeah. But
those guys wish they end up with a career of Marty Jannetty. Maybe not a personal life.
Not a personal life.
Nope. We wouldn't want to wish that upon anyone.
You know, but I think that's, you know, that that shows that investment. And I think that's the other key is the investment. And you saw that in a number of stories that were being told last night.
Well, that's what people don't understand. My mindset 6 months ago did not include makeshift chemistry being in the situations they are now.
Yep.
They showed me their value.
Yep.
So unless I'm a fucking moron or I'm just a person who's vindictive,
right,
I see what's right in front of me. So there was no thought process of, okay, we're going to give them their first match, and in 6 months, they're going to be the main team at Survival of the Fittest.
Right.
If you would have told me 6 months ago, I don't think I would have been able to have enough good tag teams to do a 4-on-4 or a 3-on-3 in that situation. Unless I was using Tito and Shay, unless I was using Royce and Jarrell.
Right.
Because I just didn't think there was enough. And then these guys just rose the ranks. Like, for a while, you know, them and Mariachis, they were right there, neck and neck. Right. And as good as the Mariachis are getting, makeshift chemistry took off.
Right.
And that's not to downplay what anybody else is doing, the Killer D's, whatever the younger tag teams. They're progressing at an average, not an average rate. They're progressing well.
Right.
But it's like the Chris Bay syndrome. Well, how long is it going to be before I get a match, people would tell me. Well, Chris Bay got one very quickly. But Chris Bay is an anomaly. Chris Bay is not the norm. Right. So I'm not going to say you can't get a match in 5 months. But what I'm saying is you're going to have to be something special to get that match.
And the difference.
And guys like Cross and guys like Bay got those matches pretty early on. Bay got his ass beat by Funny Bone, but he was still capable of being in a match.
Right.
While there's guys who are there sometimes a year who are not capable of even having the match at Future Shock.
Right. And the thing is that the other thing that sticks out is that a guy like Bay, a guy like Cross, when the opportunity was given, steps, but the progression continued quickly. There wasn't a, hey, now that I've gotten the opportunity, now I'm a wrestler, now this is this, now I'm staying right here, now you owe me this, now, you know, because there's that trap too, where, hey, well, yeah, of course, now I should just be given everything, blah, blah, that progression of, no, my best moment hasn't come yet, and I think that. And look at the guys you just mentioned. Look at Bay. Look at Cross. Look at Lacey. You know, I mean, Ricker is the shining example of this. Sepha is, you know, look at where he is. All these people are still going, my best work has not been done yet. And that's what makes them rise and makes them, you know, hungry to continue to get to that next point. And when they lose that passion, lose the hunger, that's when they retire. But they're not going to stop until they think they've had their best moment. I think Ozzy Osbourne is the best example of someone who's still at it at his age, who goes, I haven't done my Sgt. Peppers yet. And I'm still chasing that. And I'm still going to make music. And I'm still going to be trying to do that until I die. And I think that's the thing you see from these talents that will, you know, when they get it, they realize, hey, we're not good here. We need to go that way. We need to keep going that way because we haven't had our best moment yet.
Well, yeah, there's so many people that they got a few years in and they get to wrestle, not just at FSW. So now they're getting 5-6 matches a month. But for some reason, they think that they don't need to show up to train anymore. Like, hey, you might see him once every 2 or 3 weeks. And it's like, Chris Bay's still around 3 days a week. sometimes. And it's like, how do I not see you train for a month and a half? Like, why do you think that you never need to train? Like, yeah, you're good enough to be on a show, but is that your ultimate goal? Yeah. Like, do you think that there aren't 1,000 other people that have equal skill level as you that are putting in 10 times as much work, which now is going to put them ahead of you?
Right. And you know, and you know too, if you get the opportunity, let's look, listen, Hammerstone went out there and he had the best match you could have against a guy like Obafemi. You knew exactly, he knew exactly what his fucking job was, and he did it. To get asked back because he impressed Sean enough to move a story forward with Tony D'Angelo and get a win, and it was a story-based win, and it made Hammerstone look great, and it progressed the story, that's when you know that you're doing something right.
Well, you know, the main conflict I have with a lot of people, which I don't understand, is so you are training to be a professional wrestler. You're getting good. You're on shows. Your process of going to the gym is the same routine 4 to 5 days a week. When you were starting, you trained 4 to 5 days a week. You pro wrestling train 3 to 4 days a week. You had your nutrition. You did all your stuff. You did your shows. Now, you still go to the gym 4 to 5 days a week. But you feel, even though you're trying to be a wrestler, you train once a week. Like, why is that the thing that dropped off?
Right.
Because there is being in great shape, and then there's being in great wrestling shape. That's right. Why you could see guys that are 350 pounds. They're in great wrestling shape. But when you look at them, they're not in great shape.
Right.
But they can go 60 minutes while you're looking like a million bucks. Ask is blowing up after 10 minutes. Right. And believe me, I've seen Kenny King. I've seen Brian Cage. I've seen LA Knight wrestle each other in different matches to where 5 minutes in, they were blown up. Now they look like 10 million bucks, but they were doing other things, and wrestling training wasn't one of them, and their cardio hit the wall pretty quickly.
Right.
And but if you ask them how many times they went to the gym, like I see these guys, Chris Masters. Hey, call times at 2. Okay. Can you tell the guy to pick me up? I'm going to be at the gym the day of the show on a Saturday or Sunday. They're always getting that in. And with the younger guys, it's like, that's great. And a lot of them don't really even learn about the gym, and they're not in very good shape. Because you see a lot of our guys, as they start getting more opportunities and getting looks and getting bookings elsewhere, they start looking the part of a professional wrestler.
Right.
So it's like, well, keep it all going. Everything you do is great, but you're not doing that.
Right.
Well, why are you not doing the thing that you're training to be? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
No, it's, you know, and that's the thing. And I think the, you know, again, the smartest guys are the ones who, when they get to the position where they're given the opportunities, if you're impressing, you know, if you're impressing the right people, and you're very good at listening, accepting, and working with other people. That's the other thing, too. You got to be able to work with everyone. Shit, you know, you don't know what the opportunity is going to be like, because at any moment, you know, again, look how long it took Ricker to get to where he is. And boy, when that ball was given to him, and again, you got to give Bray Wyatt so much credit for, you know, giving Sean that opportunity, what he gave Sean. I think Sean has been given back to everyone else now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had it right in front of him. He took it, and he's not letting it go. And it's brilliant because, you know, we're seeing those opportunities once in a lifetime. And it doesn't matter if you're 26, 32, 45. Once you get it, go with it.
Yeah, you gotta seize the moment. You know, yeah. I never thought a guy who I liked a lot, Ryan Taylor, would ever get an opportunity in WWE.
Right.
Like, what is he doing there? Like, holy right. shit, really? Timothy Thatcher, not a guy that you thought would fit into that mold.
Well, did you hear Gunther?
Oh, yeah. Put him over. Yeah. But Timothy Thatcher is always that guy. It was like no social media, nothing.
Yeah.
Like I'd have to find the phone number when I used to try to get him because Cross really wanted to work him that time.
Yeah. And it's incredible, you know. And that's the thing. You never know. And you know, again, whether it's WWE or whether it's AEW or whether it's TNA or MLW or, you know, even NWA, AAA, New Japan, all these places that you have any opportunity to make an impression and further yourself and get a reputation. Listen, Kleinrock, Masked Underground, you know, they're doing some big stuff right now. And that Lucha Underground gave so much opportunity to a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
And who would have thought that, you know, that television show would be something that, you know, just elevated guys who, again, it's the connections, it's the right people, it's liking each other, it's being willing to work with other people, and it pays off. And, you know, again, last night, Vandergriff and Sharp for a main event, man, that story, when you have a, you know, 2.5 hour show that fans at that point in the match are chanting, this is awesome. And these guys are just wrestling their asses off. And then, you know, the final, that third act of the match comes out with the briefcase and, you know, it looks like Matt's going to lose. And then he comes back and pulls it off. That was great storytelling. And Greg is not hurt by it because he still has the briefcase. So,
but I'm curious now if Sharp's going for a rematch or Shogun's going to want a piece of him.
Right.
Now, we've never really seen that one-on-one match. Shogun and Sharp, that's a marquee match that has no belt wrapped around it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it's when storytelling's good and then the guys know how to incorporate it and they work their asses off. You know, it's something that in all performance, whether you're a band, a stand-up, someone doing a play, a wrestler, if you're performing in front of 5,000 people or five people, your commitment to your storytelling, to your profession, when you do it.
Yeah, you know, I got to give guys credit in that situation because when I go and we do a show at the school and the numbers are just nowhere near what I'm looking at. And I'm like, even this show, you know, we did pretty well, but we didn't do great. And I don't really know why we didn't draw as well as we would have hoped, but we had a good crowd. But when we've had crowds that aren't there, it's like crazy to me. It's like, I see these guys, they go out there and they do that. They act like they're at the casino show packed with 600-700 people and there's 52 people there. And it's like, man, more power to you. Like, I'm not sure if I can get up for that in terms of like, ugh, look out the curtain. Man, there's no motherfuckers here. But you know what? The ones that, because we've had crowds when they're 50, 60, 70 on the smaller shows. They're as loud as 200-300 because they're so excited to be there. So, you know, you can never downplay the fans, and it's great. And I guess that's why I love our roster so much because these guys work. Yeah. You know, we may have our ups and downs and situations and arguments, but again, you know, it's the people you deal with a lot in your life. So, you know, they happen. I probably had more arguments with Remy than anybody in this world. So, you know.
Remy's your work wife. We get it. No, it's all good.
You know, so.
It's like between Rocky and Remy, man, that's a pretty.
I talked to Remy way more. Rocky's got a lot of this shit going on. Like somebody was saying something. Oh yeah, you know. I'm like, dude, I barely talked to Rocky yesterday. I'm like, I'm running around. Like, all you right, know, when we happen to meet in the back to yap about something about the Silverton, that's usually, you know, what the issue was. But, you know, other than that, there's constant movement of doing stuff.
All right. Well, again, you know, the show
big is meeting great. Tomorrow at the Dollar Loan Center, the Leeds Family Forum. Nothing to do with the anniversary show. We might be they're having a heritage night for the Silver Knights in October, so we might be performing again, having a couple of matches. And as of right now, we're looking for the spot because with the hockey rink, we can't put the ring anywhere there. So we're possibly going to be at the front entrance. So that's so wish us luck on that one. So yeah, so we don't got nothing for a few weeks, but we're looking forward to. Heading back to the Lee's Family Forum for a little appetizer before the main event in June.
There we go. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you then.